Good to see everybody. I'm a little nervous. Got a little butterflies happening. It's good to see you all. This is such a joyful day for me, and I hope it is for you as well. Today is one of those milestone kind of days that we call it, and it's so interesting that song, Come Thou Fount, has that wonderful line in it, here I raise mine Ebenezer. And I grew up not knowing exactly what that was. I had to ask somebody, what is it, Ebenezer? I had a friend who used to tell his son when he asked that question, what's an Ebenezer, Dad? He said, you're my little Ebenezer that I'm raising. Yeah, but really the word means, Eben is the word for stone, is the Hebrew word for stone. And Neser is a distance. So it's a distant stone or milestone, as we would say. And on the way out of Green, I picked up this little rock here with a smiley face on it. And in the back it says, post me on Facebook, Green United Methodist Church. That's what it says. But I kept it, and I'm going to keep it in my office just as a reminder. Sometimes we need these little tactile reminders that God has brought me this far. He's carried us this far, and we praise God for that. Amen? Amen. So I lift this Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come. I've come this far only because of God bringing me this far and bringing our family this far. And we're so honored and humbled and delighted to be here. I just wanted to start by saying thank you. And I just want to thank God. Just the first words out of my mouth need to be words of gratitude and thanksgiving. And I just thank God for bringing me here and having a bigger picture. And also the bishop and the cabinet for having that bigger picture as well. When we're working in churches as pastors, we focus on the local church. You know, we focus on the needs of the congregation that we serve. And in this season, it's been really eye-opening to see that the bishop has a bigger picture of the church, as there are lots of Methodist churches in connection. And so this morning, I just wanted to thank the bishop and the cabinet. And also, I wanted to thank Pastor Polly. She has been such a friend to me during this process. She's been so kind to me, and her love of this congregation has been so obvious to me. And the way that she spoke about the staff, the way that she spoke about all of you. And so this morning, in your own way, in your own words, would you say a prayer for her? She's starting her first sermon today at Canyon Lake. And so in your own way, would you just lift up a prayer for Pastor Polly? God, we thank you for calling us, for equipping us, for knowing the bigger picture that sometimes we don't see. God, we thank you for our dear friend. And we thank you that you have called her to serve courageously and joyfully as you've called me to serve. So God, we thank you. And we lift her up to you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to thank my family, Maria and the kids. And I see my mom's here, Mama Lynn and Grandpa Bill. And I just wanted to say thank you. They moved with me, you know. I love what Miss Marcia said, that it's, you know, it really is, it's not easy. It's joyful, it's wonderful, the joy of my life is to serve and to meet you, but it's not easy. It's not easy to say goodbye and to say hello, but it is a beautiful thing. So thank you to my family for moving and going with me. And that's just a beautiful thing. And thank you all for your kindness and for your warm welcome. Thank you to the staff that's been so kind to me and inviting as I've gotten moved in. Pastor Jermaine and Gus, Lizzie, everybody, Chris. I see Lou back there. It's good to see you all. And welcome anyone that's watching online or that will be watching online in the future. Good that you're with us. I don't know. I guess I'll look up there or maybe over here. I'll look over here. Anyway, so glad that you're here, and what an honor and a joy it is. As I lift the scripture up, I wanted to pray just right quick about beginnings. God, we are so thankful for a beginning. God, as your scripture is read and your word is proclaimed, God, open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, our minds to what you have to say to us today. God, as always, I invite you to speak through me and in spite of me, that my words might contain your truth. God, we give you this time and we give you our attention. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, God placed it on my heart to preach from a scripture in John's Gospel. The Gospel of John. We're in the first chapter of John's Gospel, and I wasn't going to say this, but I got to say that John is one of my favorite Gospels, certainly in the top four. Sorry, I couldn't help it. It's a dad joke that I will use again and again, and bear with me there. But we come into the Gospel of John, and we understand who Jesus is right from the beginning. Right when we meet Jesus in the first few sentences, the first few verses of John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made, but without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all people. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So we know who Jesus is, right from the first few verses. And then we are introduced to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is a larger-than-life character in our Bibles. He's a bit much, as we'd say. And he's, we find out he had a diet of locusts and wild honey. So he ate those mud bugs, right? He put some butter on them, right? Some honey on them. But the thing is, what you got to understand about John the Baptist is he had the diet of a prophet, and he was saying these things about turning from your wickedness, turning because the time is coming, the Messiah is coming, and John, he knew. The diet, by the way, the diet of locusts and wild honey made him smell a certain way. See, we don't realize that, but he had a very pungent smell of a prophet. So you didn't have to get very, very far, very close to him to know. You could probably smell him coming. And that's something we don't always think about with John the Baptist. But he prayed later that he would become less so that Jesus would become more. And when I think of myself as a bit much, that's my prayer as well, that I might not distract from the person that I'm pointing to. And John had his whole life, John the Baptist's life, pointed to Jesus. That's what he did. He lived in such a way and spoke in such a way that others would find the Messiah in Jesus the Christ. So when his disciples would follow him, and they did, because he was a powerful speaker, John the Baptist would say, hey, there's one that's coming that I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes. It's Jesus. And so in verse 35, we get to the point where John is there with two of his disciples, and he saw Jesus passing by, and he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? And they said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? This is God's word for us this morning. We say, thanks be to God. So I could imagine that the disciples that were following John the Baptist, they trusted him. They trusted in what he was saying. And so when he pointed out Jesus, they went to follow Jesus. And as they're following Jesus, Jesus knows that they're following him. And I imagine that they're on the side of a beach, like the side of the body of water. I don't know why. How do you imagine? Do you imagine the same thing? I imagine he's walking along the side of the, walking along the ocean shore. But maybe not. Maybe he was walking through the woods or on a mountain. We don't know. But we know that he is walking, and they begin to follow him. He knows that they're following him. How does it? Well, he's Jesus. Of course he knows they're following him. But he turns around and he sees them. And then we get the first words that he says. The first impression, the very first thing that the word, God's message to the world from the very beginning. And we get this, the first words that Jesus, the Word made flesh, says to his followers. And I don't really like the translation of "what do you want?" I don't think that's, it's not quite "what do you want?"
Hey, what do you want?
No, it's more like, what is it that you seek? The Greek word here is zete. The word is, what do you search? What do you seek after? What do you require? What do you demand? Is right. What do you, the Message translation, what are you after? What is it that you seek? Now imagine that someone that you trusted and respected told you who Jesus was, and you believed him, and you began to follow Jesus. And we don't know who those two were, by the way. We know one is Andrew, and the other one is maybe the writer of the gospel. Maybe it's meant to invite you in to being that disciple. We get this idea that this is written for us to, and we know this is written for us to enter into it. So a point of entering in, where you see yourself in the story, is you're one of the followers of Jesus. And so imagine that you're following Jesus, and he turns around and he asks you that question: what is it that you seek? What a question that is. What do you seek? Is he saying, what do you seek in me? What do you seek in life? What are you seeking in this? And how would you answer? I would answer with all kinds of different ways. Maybe you could think of what would be the first thing that you would say. Is it hope? What is it that you seek? Peace? Joy? Love? Understanding? A friend? Belonging? Forgiveness? What is it that you seek? Is it healing? Wholeness? What is it you seek? And as bumbling and fumbling as the disciples can be, as Jesus followers can be, they get a bad rap for being slow to understand and all this in the Gospels. But their question here is spot on. And I believe that they speak for us when they answer, because they answer like this: We want to know where you stay, Jesus. Where do you abide is the word that's used. The word abide is the word minnows. Minnows is the word. And it's a very profound word about being. Not just where do you hang your hat, but where do you abide? Where do you stay? Jesus, where can we find you? And later in John's good news, in John's gospel, later we get Jesus with the disciples, and he's talking to them about when he will be going to the cross. And he's assuring them that he won't leave them as orphans, that he will send the Holy Spirit. And he mentions this. He says, here's where I abide. Okay? He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in them bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Jesus is saying, I'm going to the Father, and the place where you'll find me through the work of the Holy Spirit is in God's people. I will abide in you. And church, that's good news, to know that we meet Jesus in one another, that we meet the Holy Spirit of the living God, and that we get to embody that as a community and as individuals. And when we do, we thrive. I picked up on some messages from Pastor Polly for the last few weeks. When we thrive, when we're spiritually vital, that's what that means, that Christ is abiding in us. When we're adaptable and changes come and go, we know that we are able to do that because Christ abides in us. And when we're transformational, we can see the work of Christ all around us. We're more and more convinced, more and more confirmed in knowing where is Jesus? He's with us. He's with us in this way. And in my experience, I've met Jesus so many times in people. And I can tell you stories about growing up in the church, meeting Jesus in the Sunday school, meeting Jesus from older people where I just came up to like right here and they saw me and were kind to me. I saw Jesus in them. And I can already tell from just the little time that we've spent together that there will be a day where we'll see it in hindsight. We'll see it really clearly. Where my kids will say, well, where was Jesus? And they'll look back, well, there at the youth group, there at the children's ministry, there in the small groups, there in the Bible study, there in the friendship, there in crying together and laughing together and being part of a congregation. That's where we find Jesus. And that's what we can take with us out into the world. Amen? Amen. It is a beautiful beginning. And the disciples ask, where can I find you? Where do you stay, Jesus? Where do you abide? And of course, he answers with open arms. He says, come and see. Next week, we're going to pick up there and talk about come and see. And I can see it already, and I look forward to seeing more and more of it. I look forward to meeting you, meeting your families, getting to know you, getting to serve with you, studying with you, growing with you. Oh, I look forward to it. It is certainly a day of beginnings and a season of beginnings, and one that I will treasure and look back on. And when I know all of you, it will become more and more and more clear. And I know that it's clear among all of you. So we thank God for that and for that new beginning. And so I wonder if as you go from this place, you'll be thinking about those questions. God, where do you abide? Help us to see it. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, thank you. Thank you that you are a God who sees us following you, as imperfect as we are, and you turn around and you ask us what we seek. God, help us to open our eyes to where you are. Help us to embody your spirit. God, help us to be a church that's spiritually vital and transformative and adaptive. Help us as individuals and as your people to thrive. God, we thank you that we have a lot to look forward to. God, we lift our hearts up to you. And we praise you for who you are. The Word of life from the beginning. And for all of the light that we see in one another. All of the lights that we see. And how in you is life. And that life is the light of all people. God, we praise you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.